Choose to do the right thing. Choose the right road. Life is about decisions, isn't it? It's about decisions. Some are relatively unimportant. Like, what do I wear today? Or do I need, or should I go to the basketball game tomorrow night? Those type of things. Relatively unimportant. Other decisions, much more important. What type of career do I want to pursue? Where do I want to live? Whom do I marry? Do I get married? Those decisions are more important, but all of those pale in comparison to the greatest decision of all, and that is, where will I spend eternity? Where will I spend eternity? And where do I want to spend it? And how do I get there? Jesus answered that question for us toward the end of his, what's called his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, which serves as our text today, and it's also written out for you in the bulletin. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus lays it out for us very clearly. But I want us to look at this maybe in a slightly different way than we have heard it in the past. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says in verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." There are few who find it. Now, this has not been a new decision. God has always called upon people to make decisions because life's about choices. And just as Jesus says in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, there were really only two choices. There were two roads, two paths, two ways. You choose one or the other, and that's the way it's always been. Even during the days of the Old Testament, he said the same thing. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." He expected them to make a choice between one or the other. There were no other choices, just one or the other. Later, during the days of the prophets, Jeremiah 21, verse 8, he says almost exactly the same thing. "Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." He expected them to make a decision. They couldn't just sit back. They had to make a decision. Which was it? The way of life or the way of death? They had to make the choice. And that's why Jesus tells them in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, there are two ways to choose. And he expected them to make a choice. But what I want us to understand as we're looking at this, he's talking to very religious people, isn't he? That's the context of Matthew 5 through 7. He's talking to very religious people. Multitudes of them. And what I want us to gather from that is that the two ways he's talking about are not, they don't have signs on them saying, this way to heaven, this way to hell. How many people would choose the latter if there was a clear sign that said, this way leads to hell? Nobody would choose that. And so Jesus doesn't want the people to think that the one that's broad and has a wide gate that leads to destruction, Satan didn't put a clear sign up there, a flashing neon sign that says, this way leads to hell. Satan didn't do that. The people on both of those roads he's talking about here think they're going to heaven. All of them do. The people on the narrow, constricted, difficult way believe they're going to heaven. The ones on the narrow, broad way, they believe they're going to heaven too. It's not that they get on this road and believe that they are going to hell. They don't do that. That's not why they are there. But there's still only those two roads because there's only two destinations, Jesus says. One leads to life, one leads to destruction or death, a separation from God. Only two. Those are the only two choices. Jesus didn't say there were a third, fourth, or fifth option. Jesus didn't say there were some gray areas where you could kind of be on one road and or on the other. Just two. One road leads to life. One road leads to death. But both of them, both look like they're leading to life. Both look like they save. Both look like they're on the road to salvation. Both look like God is going to bless them. And that's the part that is maybe the most difficult for us to grasp. But it's clearly the truth because later on, Matthew chapter 7, still in the same lesson, notice verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Now that was the road that leads to life. It leads to the kingdom of heaven. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." He describes now in the next two verses some of the people on that broad road. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name?'" They thought they were on the road to life. They thought they were on the road to heaven, these people did. Clearly, they thought they were on the narrow, constricted, difficult way that led to eternal life. They believed that, but they weren't. "Cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name." See, these people didn't realize they were on the broad, wide way that led to destruction. They were, they just didn't realize it. And Jesus, of course, comes back and says, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Did these people think they were practicing lawlessness? Uh-uh. They thought they were truly following the way of God. And that's what we need to address today. He says in Matthew 7 that, first of all, if you want to choose the right road, to get on the right road, you have to pass through what? The narrow gate. And I think the best illustration of what a narrow gate for us today would be if you go to an amusement park, you go to a big professional stadium, what do you have to pass through? One of those little turnstiles, don't you? And some of them are not easy to get through. I mean, you have to kind of wiggle one way and wiggle another and try to go in sideways. Why? Because it's difficult. It's constricted. That's what the word here means. It's hard to pass through. You don't fall through a turnstile, do you? Neither do you fall onto or fall through the gate that leads to eternal life. The other gate is broad. It's easy to get through. Not this one. He says it's narrow, it's hard, it's difficult, it's constricted, it's tight. Why? Because you can't carry anything with you. You ever tried going through a turnstile with a big backpack or a big bag of something or try to get a stroller through one? You can't. They're made that way for a purpose. The narrow gate that leads to eternal life is made that way for a purpose because we can't bring any baggage along with us. If you want to enter that narrow way, you can't be filled with a whole lot of baggage. We can't bring along pride. Because us and pride, too big. We can't get through the turnstile. If I'm loaded with arrogance, I can't get through the narrow gate. There's not enough room for me and arrogance both. Won't fit. If I'm carrying a big bag of idols, not enough room. I can't get through the narrow gate. False beliefs. That's why people who have false beliefs can't get through the narrow way. It's like a big backpack, a big baggage on their back. They can't get through. There's not enough room. They have to get rid of all those false beliefs to enter in. Worldly possessions. You know, that's exactly what kept the rich young ruler out because he loved those worldly possessions. And Jesus, of course, was able to look into his mind, and we can't do that, but Jesus was able to look into the rich young ruler's mind and see that the rich young ruler couldn't get through the narrow gates with all of his worldly possessions because he loved them too much. And that's why Jesus said, you've got to get rid of all of them. Otherwise, you can't get through that turnstile. There's not enough room. You've got to get rid of them. And as we're looking at these things, that's why Jesus says there are few people who choose that way. Few people want to give up their idols. Few people want to give up their possessions. Few people want to give up their false beliefs. Few people want to give up their pride and arrogance. They don't want to give up those things. And since they don't want to give up those things, they don't want to humble themselves, they cannot get through the narrow, constricted way. It's impossible. Some don't want to get rid of immorality. They'll say, yeah, I'll get on that narrow way that goes to heaven, but I'm taking my immorality with me. No, I can't get rid of that. Jesus says there's not enough room for you and immorality to get through that gate. You've got to get rid of it. And really, that's what Jesus was teaching. Luke 14, verse 33, whoever of you does not forsake all, that little three-letter word, all that he has cannot be my disciple. That's the point he's trying to make. You want to get through that narrow gate, you've got to get rid of all that stuff that's keeping you from following me. Otherwise, you can't get through that turnstile. There's not enough room for you and all that baggage. Won't fit. That's what keeps people out of the kingdom. That's what keeps people from entering that narrow, difficult, constrained, restricted way. They have too much baggage. Regardless of what that baggage is, Jesus says there's not room. Many people would love to get on that narrow road, but too costly. Don't want to do it. Jesus says you want to enter through that narrow gate, you've got to surrender. You have to surrender. Many of us have been to caves where you go through a walkway through a cave and you explore the cave. In a lot of places, what happens to that way? It gets very low and very tight and very narrow. It's difficult to get through. That's what Jesus is saying here. That life is a constricted life. And one has to be careful about what he tries to carry through that. But you can't enter it, Jesus says, just as if there is an admission. Jesus says you cannot enter that unless you agonize over your sins. You can't carry all your sins through that narrow, constricted gate. If you're not humble and willing to get rid of that and agonize and feel that sorrow for your sins, you cannot enter that narrow gate. Jesus says it's impossible. Paul even told the Corinthians that he did what? He rejoiced. He rejoiced that their sorrow led to repentance. Why did he rejoice? Because he knew that's what was necessary. We have to do the same. We have to feel sorrow over our sins. This similar account in Luke 13, very similar to his Sermon on the Mount, probably given at a different time, but very similar. Luke 13, I don't remember the verse. Let's begin reading in verse 23. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? This is Luke 13, verse 23. This was Jesus' response to the question, Lord, are there few who are saved? Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Not enough room. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us, and he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Where you are from? Then you'll begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. I wanted us to notice two things in particular there. That's a great lesson in and of itself. But notice two things that have to do with what we're talking about. Number one, it says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Does that sound easy to you? This means I can't just say a little prayer and enter through that gate. That doesn't work. I just can't make a little confession that I believe in Christ and that's it. That's not striving. So saying a little prayer or making a little confession is not striving, and it will not ever get me through that narrow gate. Trying to say or to ask Jesus into your heart, notice that that text says that doesn't get you through the gate. Jesus says there, there'll be people say, Lord, Lord, open for us. Verse 25, open for us. And Jesus will say what? I do not know you, where you are from. So saying a little prayer, making a short little confession, asking Jesus into your heart, none of those gain us admission through that gate. Jesus says, strive to enter through the gate. Get rid of those false beliefs. Get rid of that pride. Get rid of your idols. Get rid of whatever baggage you have. Get rid of it. Then there will be room to enter through the gate. Jesus describes the wide gate, the broad way, that he says the vast majority of people are on that road. It was easy to get through the gate because it's very wide. You could bring all kinds of stuff through that gate. You can enter the broad way with your pride. It's no problem. There's plenty of room. You can enter the broad way with all the idols you can pack in a bag. There's plenty of room. You can enter that broad way with self-righteousness, with all your immoral behaviors. There's room for you and all your immoral behaviors to get through that wide gate. There's no problem. You can get on that broad road through that wide gate with every type of false religious belief imaginable. There's room. You can take all that. But Jesus said that road leads to destruction. That road leads to you being forever cast out from God's presence. Every man-made religion is on this road. You know, atheism is a man-made religion. It's on this road, and everybody who practices it's on this broad road. You can take atheism right through that wide, broad gate, no problem. There's plenty of room. There's plenty of room for every religion that was started by a man. You name any of them that was started by a man, regardless of what year it was started, you can go through that wide gate with that religion. There's plenty of room. You can't take that with you through the narrow gate, though. You can't take any of those beliefs. There's simply not enough room. Every false religion that claims to be a Christian religion, there's not enough room for you to take that through the narrow gate. That has to be cast off and thrown aside. Otherwise, you can't get through the narrow gate, but there's plenty of room to take that through the wide gate. The problem is the wide gate leads to destruction. Now, think about that today and its implications. The world is filled with man-made religions, thousands of them. Some claim to be Christian religions, and of course that doesn't make them Christian religions. But if they were started by some mere man or group of men somewhere in time, all of those followers are on that broad way. Jesus said they were. Because they couldn't fit through the narrow gate. Too much baggage. So they're on that broad way and they're traveling down that broad way. And many of those people are doing marvelous, wonderful, sacrificial, benevolent acts of service. But Jesus says works, human works, can't save people. So all of those marvelous things they do don't earn them a trip on that narrow road. They have to go through that narrow gate. Everybody has to go through that narrow gate. They can travel years and years and years down that broad way that leads to destruction and do wonderful things, marvelous things. But Jesus says those works can't save them. Works have never had the power to save anybody, regardless of when they were done. And those people honestly, sincerely, truly believe they're on the road that leads to eternal life. But Jesus says they're not. Jesus clearly says they're not. The only way to ever get on that constricted, narrow way is to get through that narrow gate. Jesus, there's only one way onto it. People aren't born physically into it. That's not how they get through that narrow gate. Their relationships in the world don't get them through that narrow gate. None of that type of things. None of those things do. You can't go through that narrow gate with anybody. It's an individual act. I can't go through that with you. You can't go through that with me. It's an individual act because it's an individual decision to go through that narrow gate. You can't take the baggage off of me, and I can't take the baggage off of you. You have to get rid of all that yourself to enter that narrow gate. So it's an individual act. That narrow gate's only big enough for one person at a time. One person who has decided to get rid of all that baggage, then they can have room to go through the narrow gate. Otherwise, they don't. It's a very serious choice. But it's a choice that one can make any time in his life. You might have traveled down that broad way for years and years and years. But when you come to the understanding that that road leads to destruction, you can choose to go through that narrow gate. As long as you have life, as long as you have your ability to make those decisions, you can do that. But the problem is, and this is what makes it so constricted and so confined and so difficult, is you have to get rid of all that baggage to do so. All the immorality, the false beliefs, the pride, the arrogance, the self-righteousness, the worldly possessions, the idols. There's not room for you and those things with you. You must get rid of them. And of course, all of that goes back to the biblical concept of repentance. Because in repentance, you turn away from all that stuff, all that baggage. You turn away from pride and idolatry and immorality. That's the turning point. You turn away from that. And Jesus in Luke 13 says, unless you repent, you'll perish. Because if you don't repent, you can't get through the narrow way. Because you're not getting rid of all that stuff that you're trying to carry through it. You have to get rid of it to get through it, to fit. Jesus says the vast majority of people are simply not willing to do that. They have a choice. The narrow, constricted, difficult way that leads to eternal life, Jesus said there's only going to be a few who find it. So was Jesus wrong? Was Jesus wrong when he said that only a few are going to find it? Remember, Jesus is addressing religious people here. He says only a few of the religious people will find it. That's not my thinking or man's thinking. That's God's word. only a few. Because Jesus says most people, most, won't get rid of that baggage. Let us go through the wide gate, they'll continue on the broad way, and that leads to destruction. Regardless of how much good they do on the broad way, makes no difference because that can't earn them salvation. It's impossible. Salvation comes by Jesus Christ. Jesus said He was the way, right? The truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me, John 14:6. The Apostle said in Acts 4, there's no other name, none, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said He was the door into the sheepfold. They had to go through Him. That hasn't changed. Jesus says, if you come to Me, you have to forsake all. Why? Because otherwise you can't fit through the narrow gate. And that's true today. We want to come to Jesus. If we want to inherit that eternal life, we have to go through Jesus, enter through that narrow gate by getting rid of all of that baggage, turning away from it, repenting, and being cleansed. And that cleansing occurs when one knows what he's doing, understands what the narrow way is, that it leads to heaven through Christ, and is willing to have his sins washed away. I encourage you today that if you want that, if you're willing to go through that narrow way, that you'll make that decision to come as we stand and sing this song.